You're listening to BGO Blind Pig, BGO's official roundtable discussion of all things DC football. Come pull up a chair, pour a libation of your choosing, and join in some passionate DC football debate. BGO, a Burgundy and Gold obsession, is the most passionate, intelligent community of Washington football fans on the web since 2009. Join us at www.bgobsession.com.
If that one, John, didn't work, I don't know what to tell you, buddy. All right. Happy to see everybody for the another episode of the Blind Pig, courtesy of bgobsession.com. Real quick, we'll run down the intros. Top left is Mark. He hails as Ohm. Bottom left is Chris. You can find him as Chris. Bottom right is Bob. He hails as Neophyte. Top right is John. He hails as Boone. And then my name is Derek. You can catch me at Silent Threat. So please come by the board, leave us a comment, have some fun, mix it up, listen to our advertisements on the Al Galdi podcast now that we're popular and
we're global, baby.
We're global. That's right. That's
nationwide.
Right. So I wanted to throw out a hypothetical for you guys. It's kind of a discussion hypothetical, but it got me thinking. So this past weekend, there was a clip on ESPN where they were talking about mid-season MVPs. I believe the names on the list were Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes. It might have been Justin Herbert, but I'm not 100%. And the fourth one that I saw up there was Sam Howell. And, of course, I squawked at it a little bit. Like, you got to be kidding me. How are we going to blah, blah, blah? Well, and then it got me thinking. Let's take the offense out of it. Let's say the offense is exactly like it has been all year long. And let's say our defense is not 31st, it's 15th. And that's enough to win us three more games. Then is the Sam Howell MVP legitimate? Same statistics, same games. Same offensive output in each game. Could we then really be talking about Sam Howell as an MVP candidate as the season goes on? And if so, why aren't we doing it now?
If we're 7-3, absolutely. It's in the conversation right up there with J.C. Stroud, who's got a team that no one expected to be any good, very competitive. If we're 7-3 and Sam was the obvious reason why, he would legitimately be in that conversation.
If we had the 15th ranked defense across the board, we might be better than 7-3. And the thing is, some of our wins would be against the Philadelphia Eagles. So I think that would be if we had beaten the Eagles and we were challenging for a playoff spot and with what Sam Howell's doing, I think that would be a totally different look.
I think we win more than three more games. If we've got the 15th ranked defense, I think we win everything except the Bills game. We're leading the division. And if you go look at the standings, because Derek, you brought it up. So I went and looked at the standings. Not only would we be leading the division at the moment, we'd be the number one ranked team. We'd be the top ranked team in the NFC. We'd have a bye right now. Yes, Sam Howell would absolutely be in the MVP consideration, because team standing means almost as much as performance. You're not going to find a league MVP off a team that didn't make the playoffs. Maybe the league MVP should have come from there, statistically speaking, and via importance to their team. But if the team's not winning and getting into the playoffs, nobody's making MVP off that team. So, yeah, you change our record like that and give us a better defense? Sure.
If my grandma had
wheels, then she would be a bicycle? Yeah.
We're all old. Sorry. We're with you.
Washington fans are in on the discussion. The national media is picking up the discussion or dipping their toe in the water of the discussion. But the thing that I'm most pleased about was Sam was asked about it directly in his press conference today. Ooh. And he's not paying any attention to that yet. He goes, it's one game at a time. I'm worried about the Giants. You know, I'm seeing what we have to do there. All of the individual stuff, I don't pay any attention to. And for someone who just turned 23, like 30 or 45 days ago, that's pretty amazing to me. And I appreciate that mindset.
Hey, I'm going to wrap a nice bow on it. There's not been anyone that's played quarterback that position as well as Sam Howell has for the last three games in this season. That's the best three game stretch of any quarterback in the NFL this year, I think. No caveats of any kind.
I wanted to ask the question because the whole hypothetical behind it was that if we're 7-3 and Sam Howell did no more, then why are we not legitimately having that conversation? And I don't want to say that we should be having the conversation. I am perfectly content being under the radar ish, not having NFL films all around and not having ESPN every home game, whatever. I'm fine with that. But the point being is if he's doing enough to have won us seven games, but we haven't won seven games by no fault of his own, I mean, that is a legitimate conversation that maybe shouldn't be seriously and, looked or debated, but at least thought about. Like, good Lord. And there are guys on this fan base that are ready to move on from him.
Yeah, Mark, I just don't think that's the way they assign MVPs out in the world. I mean, losing, like Bob was referencing, losing teams don't get players in that conversation. He might get an honorable mention, but the way we talk about MVPs and assign that honorific these days, you have to be on a winning team and helping your team win, like being the obvious cause of it. So,
if there was an award somewhere along the lines of breakout player of the year, he should be the front runner for it.
Yes.
So the ultimate example of the whole MVP discussion that I have thought for years and years, because I am that old and I do remember when this guy actually played. Look up Barry Sanders. And as far as I know, Barry Sanders never won an MVP for the league. And as far as I'm concerned, Barry Sanders pretty much earned league MVP every single year he played for the Lions. He was their best player. He was their most indispensable player. And he brought his A game every single game. You know, he was the epitome of the guy you have to have. And Mark's off looking it up now. And I'm going to be really embarrassed if he actually did win it. But if he did, it was only once. And it could have been every single year. He won one?
1997.
Now here's the question. Did the Lions make the playoffs that year?
97 Lions. Probably no, because they didn't do a lot of that back in those days.
No, but I seem to remember one year that we beat them in the playoffs.
Yeah, we went to the 91 Super Bowl after we thrashed them.
Yeah, it was bad. It was
45-0.
It should have been subject to a mercy rule, as I recall.
That was the 45-0 game, I think.
Right. Yeah.
We beat him in the opener 45-0. We beat him in the NFC Championship, I think, like 41-10 or something.
Yeah. We got a long way to go before Sam gets to be in the discussion.
I'm not rallying for it. I just thought it would be an interesting conversation to have.
Derek, for the record, I don't disagree with you. I feel like every single player on every single team, regardless of record, should be in the running day one. And that if you are legitimately the best player in the league, just because one side of the ball did not perform well, doesn't mean you should be penalized. But that's not the league we live in anymore. You've got to be on a successful team. At least that's the way it looks to me.
I know we're going to, on that note, I know we want to move on. The Lions finished 9-7 that year. And he had 2,053 yards at the time, the second guy to ever crack 2,000.
Well, all right. So he had to do something spectacular
to get them to 9-7
on a mediocre team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Pretty good in our backfield.
We real quick, and I really don't want to spend a ton of time on this. I know that nobody here wants to. I think we're all in lockstep about how we feel about this guy. But I would be interested just to put it on record on the podcast. Yes or no answer. Bill Belichick in one sentence to follow it, and we'll move on. No debate. And we can start top left. Mark, what do you think?
Question for you. Define Bill Belichick. Is he coming in as GM and coach?
That's your answer. No, you would not want him as your GM. But
my answer to that is a resounding no. If he wants to come here as our defensive coordinator for a couple of years, hell yeah, give him a shot.
John?
No, and I was going to say more than one sentence. Eugene Shen was hired to be like our next regime's analytics guru, right? That was a big hire. And I think that was a message that was being sent. Here's what Bill Belichick said about analytics a few years ago. You could take those advanced websites and metric them wherever you want. I don't know. I have no idea. I've never looked at one. I don't care to even look at one. I don't care what they say. All the metric pages and all of that. I mean, I have no idea. You'd need to ask that to a smarter coach than me. So I just don't see. I think that the hiring of Shin is a big signal that they want some. They want a young,
progressive,
innovative guy whose ass is on fire and who's open to new ideas. And I don't think Bill Belichick meets that definition.
That's Bob.
Coach Belichick, I'd be willing to talk about. GM Belichick, absolutely not. So probably no, because I don't think at this point Bill is willing to take a job where he can't shop for his own groceries, to use his former boss's metaphor.
And the man's got 17 games to go to try to beat Don Shula's winning record. All-time wins record. I think if he goes anywhere, he's kind of like the Bruce Smith of coaches. He's going there to try to get that record, and then he's done.
Yeah.
Chris?
There's a lot of rumors about Dallas. I'm just saying. I don't know if there's anything to those rumors, but.
Big no. I put a post on the board today, three quick snippets from it. One, he doesn't develop anybody on the coaching staff that can be successful outside of his shadow. Two, he's going to be 72 years old around the time the draft takes place in April. So it's kind of important that you can develop people that can perform outside of your shadow. And three, he's, since Brady left, he's basically Ron Rivera.
Yeah.
I will finish, put tie a bow on this. I'll say, no, I don't think he comes here as anything less than the grand poobah, and I'm not interested in that. I want a different schematic format. I want a GM to hire his head coach, and I want a forward offensive thinking system. And I'm not interested in Bill Belichick running the team. So
he can stick it up his metric.
That only took about 6 minutes. So all right.
Shortest segment ever.
Seattle game. Now we can just open up the can and just. I'm interested in how you guys want to react.
John, why don't you do the like, didn't like real quick and get us going on that?
Well, I like three touchdowns and no interceptions from Sam. I tell you what, I really loved. I love seeing Robinson as a target in the passing game, especially when he caught one for 51 yards. But he was 6 for 6. He almost had more receptions than he did rushes in the game. I love that. AG doing on kickoff returns had 133 yards. I love that. I got to give the D one positive comment because it may be the only one of the night. I liked that we held the Seahawks to 4 of 14 on third down. Unfortunately, we gave up 500 yards.
They did so well on first and second down.
They had 27 first downs overall.
I like that we scored 14 points in the fourth quarter. And I thought they handled the crowd noise really well. I would have known they were playing in Seattle I didn't see a lot of like miscues and communication issues. I didn't see a lot. And I like that Dyami Brown caught a touchdown.
Playmaker, Dyami Brown.
Yeah. Those were my likes.
What do you got, Bob?
I got this is going to sound a little weird. I've been thinking about this for 2 days since we implemented this format. I kind of like it, but I like the fact that I feel like I saw almost plan B from Eric Bieniemy this week. Seattle came out and it felt like they really wanted to take away Dotson and McLaurin. And we played a tight end running back game in the first half. I mean, we moved the ball with the tight ends and the running backs catching the ball from Sam Howell. Now, I don't know if that was by design or if that's just what they were giving us, and Sam has progressed to the point that he's taking what the defense is giving him. But it felt like, even though it was pass oriented and is still very pass oriented, it felt like Eric Bieniemy game planned for what he thought Seattle was going to do. And this is the first time all season long I've felt like we did that, and we did it well. I mean, we moved the ball fairly well. If the defense had played half a game in the first half, that game could have been out of sight by the middle of the third quarter. With just a tweak here and a tweak there, a couple of those field goals become completely different things. And again, I felt like we were playing against two teams, not just one. Last week there were a lot of complaints about the officiating. I was not completely convinced. This week I was fairly well convinced. I was not happy with the officiating this week. It felt like we were playing two teams a lot of the game. And I try very hard to stay neutral in those conversations because I don't want to be one of the ref bashing guys. But man, this week was hard not to make that argument. So I was really happy with the game Bieniemy called and the game Sam played.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We want to make sure that you don't miss out on any future BGO Blind Pig podcasts. On our YouTube channel, simply hit the subscribe button. If you're listening to BGO Blind Pig via Apple Podcasts or another podcast provider, go to our description page and click that follow button.
Chris?
I've coined a new phrase. See if you guys like it. I really like the growth and development that Sam Howell is showing. And, you know, for the third week in a row, playing very, very well. As far as I'm concerned, we've got, if we're lucky, maybe we have three more wins on the season. And it's all about Howell. And he continues to impress. And I like that. As far as anything else, any individuals that you guys haven't mentioned, I thought that John Bates played a really good game, both in protection, and he showed a little bit of run after the catch. Got a couple first downs, et cetera. I thought he had a good game.
Hey, Chris, my lawyer just called. He says that growth and development is still available to be copyrighted. So you're good, man. You should get on that. There's money to be made.
I thought you were going to say it was Cousins' attorney because he had an unauthorized. I like that.
That could be true too. He just doesn't have my phone number.
What do you got, Mark?
I liked, and the typical of me, I know I got to do the bigger picture thing. What I liked most about that performance from Sam Howell, based on the progression over the last few games, is Seattle did a really, really good job of taking away the over-the-top stuff. And there's a reason that Sam is throwing underneath and throwing to the tight ends and throwing to the running backs. I think teams are defending us that way. They've seen the speed we have on the outside. They've seen Sam's arm and his accuracy, and they're just not letting that happen. I'm watching this young quarterback who leads the league in raw passing yards, take the underneath stuff over and over and over, accurately, decisively, threw the ball away, looking a lot more like a veteran. He doesn't seem to be worried about the completion percentage. He's taking what's there and working within the confines of a defense. And that's really hard to do, particularly in an environment like Seattle, which is a tough place to play. And I know that's not the Legion of Boom anywhere, but that's still a pretty good defense over there. I really like the maturity he showed there. And by the way, just kind of the balls. And I don't know if you guys got this impression, but Sam's got a little bit more swagger on the field now. There's a couple of times in that game where he just led those little flip throws to Robinson up the sideline. It's not even just making the play. The body language is a little bit different. He's getting a little bit of that. I'd like to think it's athletic arrogance that Gibbs used to say he wanted in his players, and not cockiness that'll go off the rails. We'll have to see, but I really like what I saw from him. The other thing I really liked from this, and this was for all the guys on that team, this was another classic opportunity for them to not show up. big opportunity game to go 500 on the road, be legitimate playoff conversation team and all that. How many times have we seen Ron's teams come up completely flat? I don't know how much credit Ron gets for this anymore, but that locker room, they showed up to play and they played their asses off. I just don't think they're quite good enough to get over the top against legitimate competition. Liked the effort, liked what I saw from Sam a lot.
Hey, Pete Carroll had nice things to say about Washington, and that's not something he usually goes out of his way to compliment the other team. And he had some pretty nice things to say.
That's 2 weeks in a coach. That's 2 weeks in a row that a coach that isn't particularly vociferous with nice things for the other team has said nice things about the other team. Belichick, I don't know about his post game, but his pregame, he damn near glowed about Sam Howell. I mean, for Bill Belichick anyway.
Yeah, he's campaigning for a job.
Maybe, that's true.
Or, yeah.
Derek?
So, just to finish it up, a couple things that I liked. One thing I really liked is that this is now, and we, this offense put together another two-minute drive to score and tie the game. This is now, we came back and scored twice in the fourth quarter against Philly last time we played them. Came back and scored with 0 seconds on the clock against Philly the first time we played them to tie the game. And then now this drive that Sam Howell and the entire offense put together scored to tie the game with under a minute to go. Additionally, on the touchdown to De'Ami Brown, that was the best pocket I have seen this offensive line block this season.
Yeah.
I like that. Bienemy or whoever made the decision did not immediately flip Tyler Larson out of the starting position, center position, and is riding what appears to be an upgrade at the position. I saw a stat that on that throw, Sam Howell had 4.7 seconds to throw that football, which is double what his average time to sack was, if you remember a stat not that long ago.
Yeah.
So that changes a lot of things about what he can and can't do when he has the time to play, make decisions. So, and as ironic as this sounds, I like the fact that that 2 minute drill came in a game we ultimately ended up losing. I don't ever root for the team to lose. I wanted them to win in the moment. I wanted them to win, but we've talked about it on the board. I mean, if you could find a way to lose, this is about the best case scenario. You know, you improve your draft position. You still get the experience that you want your team to get. And then on top of that, it probably further solidifies the fact that Ron Rivera can't come off all week and say, we have a chance, you know? I really believe that.
Yeah. So let's talk about what we didn't like, and let's go in reverse order. That way I get to hog the first five obvious points. What didn't you like, Derek?
What I didn't like is 500 yards of offense. What I didn't like is...
By Seattle, you mean?
By Seattle. What I didn't like is the exact opposite of the point I just made, that we just were able to tie the game with 53 seconds left in the clock, and I don't know that anybody felt comfortable. I would bet all five of us were watching that game live, and we said, immediately after we got done celebrating the touchdown, we looked up and said, shit, there's a lot of time left. So...
I think some of us said that while the ball was in the air.
In the air.
Tommy Brown. No.
And the last thing I didn't like is that I continue to see our premium players on defense not make plays. Even on a bad defense, where are Allen and Payne? And I don't like calling Allen out because he's probably one of my favorite players on the team. But, hey, big dog, you got that contract. Even on a bad defense, we should see you before we see everybody else. You know, I want to see more from my interior D lineman.
Agreed.
All right, John.
Is reverse order too much of a challenge for you guys?
Yes, it is.
The reverse order means now it's Chris, right? Or is it Mark?
I only have one. I'll make it quick. Cameron Cheeseman is the problem.
Yes. I'm running out of clever cheese.
I know that Tressway really likes him. but there's a line, you know.
You may be liking him less.
Yeah.
The more he's required to be Spider-Man back there. I heard somebody saying that, making that reference. Yeah, I heard somebody on the radio saying that maybe the problem and the reason that Cameron's still snapping is that Ron traded up to get him. He doesn't really want the embarrassment of explaining why he has to cut the cheese at this point.
Cool. Yeah.
Right. I swear I'd never say that again after preseason. What I didn't like was that I saw flashes from the defense that when they seemed to have a good play call and knew what they were doing, we saw some guys make plays. We saw Jamin Davis flash two or three times. We saw some pretty solid tackling from David Mayo. We had a bunch of opportunities for Benjamin St. Juice early in the game. He was balling in the first half and making plays and all that. So I keep seeing that we've got people who can play the game. What continues to frustrate me, and I'm just completely convinced at this point, is that Jack Del Rio, as a play caller and schemer, is just in over his head at this point. I think John used the expression "game passed him by." I mean, it's a cliche that we all use, but it's apt, right? I just don't think that he's putting his players in the best position. I wish that we had a better gauge for the talent evaluators who are coming next to look at film of this team and see what we've got on the roster and who stays and who goes. I just don't know that we're putting those players in a position to give us their best. And that would include someone like John Allen, who, I mean, I'm not breaking down his plays too much like I was with Chase, because I'm not quite as obsessed with him, but I think he's facing a lot of double teams and he's being asked to do contain stuff. I just don't think they're out there playing as a unit. I think they're out there overthinking and reacting. And I think that's the reason that we are the 31st ranked scoring defense in the NFL. And the reason that we're 4-6, I think that's the real big problem. Didn't like it.
Anything you didn't like, Bob?
Yeah, I'm gonna kind of piggyback off what Mark said, but with a slightly different tangent. I don't like the fact that Jack waited until the second half to turn the dogs loose. You know, we had exactly one Seattle. Seattle had one three-play and a punt drive in the first half. That was it. Everything else was 6, 8, 9, 10 plays, 11 plays. You know, and we come out of halftime, and suddenly we're blitzing from everywhere. Cam Curl was in. We had a cornerback in. I forget which one it was because, you know, I don't remember which one was on the field because the referees were sending them home. All of a sudden we were bringing pressure from unexpected places in the field and we were not rushing four. And I was watching this defense run roughshod over Geno Smith and the Seattle offense. Granted, their second drive was two plays, 75 yards and a touchdown. But even on the touchdown play or the long play in the middle of that, we brought the heat. Jack wasn't messing around coming out after halftime. All of a sudden, there are guys flying around, and I was like, this is awesome. Mom, pardon my French. Where the fuck has this been all season long? I don't understand why we have not done this sooner. And no sooner did I get excited about it,
did it went away.
Then Jack quit doing it, and Seattle had 11 plays, 55 yards, you know, and a field goal. And then 10 plays, 75 yards, and a touchdown. 7 plays, 50 yards, and a field goal, and they walk away with a win. Where was this from the opening whistle? And why, after it proved it worked, did we stop? I don't understand. That just pissed me off. Derek, I'm with you. It's a game I come away feeling good about. We lost. It improves our draft position. It's a positive all the way around because I didn't have to root against the team. I think that's a good thing. But I looked at that defense in the third quarter and I went, if we'd had this defense against the Bears, if we'd had this defense against the Giants, if we'd had this defense in either one of the Eagle games, just those three drives, if with this defense with Chase Young and Montez Sweat on the field, where's our season?
Eh.
There you go. That's mine. I'm done.
So you guys hit most of the ones I had. I didn't like that we lost the time of possession battle. Excuse me, the time of possession battle, because we've been pretty successful at winning that. Not that that guarantees wins, but it certainly indicates, you know, positives for the most part that you're controlling, you're having extended drives, and you're, and more importantly, you're limiting the other team's extended drives. So we lost the time of possession battle this week. You guys alluded to the lack of pressure. We only had one sack. We had no interceptions, no forced fumbles. And I just wanted to bring up something I brought up a couple, maybe like a month ago. I still wonder if John Allen isn't hurt. He's been on the injury list a lot. He's on it again this week.
Yeah, with a vet rest day.
Right. I mean, they're calling it vet rest, but, you know, he had a plantar, I think it was plantar fasciitis, which is notoriously hard to kind of get over and play at the same time. And I'm not making excuses for the guy, but he seems not very John Allen like this season. So it makes me wonder if that's not a factor a little bit.
You know, a little bit of defense there. Because after Derek said it, I thought, man, I thought John played a pretty. John had four solo tackles and the only sack of the game. But you know what? On that line, he's the guy I look to soak up pressure so that Deron Payne can go make a play. Maybe I'm wrong.
I just don't think he's looked quite like himself.
And you may be right, John.
Not playing badly, but not like John Allen.
He may not be well.
And then the last one I'll throw in there is there was a stretch in the third quarter that I felt like the game got away from us. And it was highlighted by the Geno Smith 64-yard touchdown pass to Walker. And then two plays later, Sam fumbles the ball. And we lose the fumble. And I felt like that was when things kind of went off the rail right there in that moment. So,
although we did get a three, and I looked at that earlier today, John, that we got a three and out after that. The defense actually got the stop.
Right.
After the Sam fumble. But
yes.
So here's one that I couldn't decide if it was a like or a don't like. Let me just see if I can get out here real quickly. On the second to last drive Seattle had when they went for it on fourth and five at midfield, it's a tie game with 4.5 minutes to go. Seattle has a fourth and four or fourth and five right at midfield. And they go for it. And I was thinking to myself, it's one of two things. If I'm Pete Carroll, this is what I'm thinking. It's either, I know Jack Del Rio's defense. I know exactly what he's going to do. I know I can convert this. We're going to go and put this game away right now. The flip side of that might be he's thinking, I've just watched this young quarterback carve up my defense, and I'm not giving him the ball. I'm going to go win the game right now, and I'm going to take my shot because I don't think Jack Real can stop me. That to me was the key play of the game, right? Because if we don't get the penalty on that, if the ref decides to keep the laundry in his closet and not call the PI on Benjamin St. Juste, we've got the ball at midfield. And with four minutes to go and our offense is humming, and who knows, maybe we're having a very different conversation today. So I liked and disliked that Pete Carroll went for it on that.
Yeah.
So let's wrap it up with a positive. And I can't remember who said it, but that was a pretty damn good performance on the road in Seattle against a pretty, pretty good Seattle team. I mean, it wasn't what we wanted. And if it wasn't for everything that the defense has done this season prior to that, we're probably not even beating on the defense that much, because they showed something, and at least in stretches, as Bob alluded to. But it was a disappointing game, but I wasn't really disappointed in them, if that makes sense. I didn't walk away from that game like depressed and angry like I normally am.
Fair, I agree with that. And I do want to say that I'm not rooting against the team. I'm not rooting for the team to lose, but big picture, lose it, you know, sitting back, looking back at the overall long-term health of the team to go through the scenarios they went through and ultimately end up not pulling the pulling it out might just be the better, the lesser of the two evils, you know what I mean, of for the long-term health. So I'm curious, guys. Ari Mirov just posted earlier this afternoon the Giants are sticking with undrafted rookie Tommy DeVito as their starting quarterback. Additionally, Kayvon Thibodeau, Jalin Hyatt, and Adoree Jackson are in the concussion protocol. Is there, and there, I mean, there's no logical way that we could lose this game and have any level of pride. Is there?
Not really. On some damn wood, dude.
I think the Giants
I didn't say we couldn't lose. I said we couldn't lose and still have any level of pride, because I absolutely know it's possible we lose.
Well, so can I tell you about my John Kime dream from last night? So we lose, we get swept by the Giants, right? Like against, I mean, you can't even imagine that could happen against this Giants team. And I'm there, I'm Josh Harris, and I'm at the press conference, and I'm like, I can't, this is unacceptable. I'm letting Ron go. And John Kime stands up and says, how can you let your coach go in midseason with no other viable replacement? And I look at John Kime and I say, well, it's for spite. And then John Kime says, I don't think you can fire a head coach in the NFL for spite. And I said, well, in that case, I just don't think he's a very good coach. And then John Kime says, well, you already said spite. So that was a dream.
When was the last time a 4-6 team was a double-digit favorite in a
game? That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, the Giants are in full tank mode, right? I mean, I don't know what they could do differently personnel-wise. But the thought occurred to me earlier this week, I guess, that things keep going the way they're going. The New York Giants are in position to draft Caleb Williams, Drake May, Ryan Nix, and we're dealing with that shit for the next 15 years.
Yeah.
I think that the Giants are in full tank mode, and we're really going to have to try to lose this one.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, if you enjoy the BGO Blind Pig podcast, you may enjoy the video version. Visit YouTube and search BGO Blind Pig to access over 100 previous episodes. However you enjoy BGO Blind Pig, we thank you for listening.
It's for the simple fact that there's no way we can walk away from this game the same way we walk away from Seattle, where we're I mean, Sam Howell, knock on wood, is going to have the worst game of the season to lose this game. You know what I mean? Like, this would be beyond the wins and losses, the regression of our confidence in the team going forward and looking beyond 23. If they found out, he's not, I can't see him throwing for 290 and two touchdowns and us losing. Like, I you know what I mean? Like, I don't see it.
I think if we lose to this team, I'm sorry, Bob, then I'll shut up. If we lose to this team, it's because Wink Martindale owns EB again, and we turn the ball over two or three times. They get a defensive score, a special team score, and we can't score, and we end up losing, 15-14. That's the only way I see us losing this game.
And, Mark, you went exactly where I was headed with this. I think two touchdowns wins this game. You know, unless New York gets help from special teams or defense in the scoring category, I don't see their offense putting up. Oh my gosh. I can't believe I'm going to say this, because it feels like I'm jinxing something. I don't see their offense putting up two touchdowns. They barely put up two touchdowns with Tyrod Taylor.
It only took two touchdowns.
I know it. Yes, I know. And so here's my nightmare scenario. My nightmare scenario is that the offensive line and EB, because I believe that Sam has come on like gangbusters in the last 3 weeks. But if the offensive line and EB doesn't do something different from what we did the last time we played against Wink Martindale, Wink Martindale's going to do the same damn thing to Sam Howell. There's only so much Sam can do on his own. He's got to have, what was the statistic that I'm going to slaughter her last name, Nikki Jabala, posted during the game against New York, that Sam Howell, it had been 2.23 seconds from either throwing the ball or getting hit. That was the average. 2.23 seconds against New York, getting rid of the ball or getting hit. That means pressure is getting there before 2.23 seconds. I don't know that any quarterback in the league has faced pressure that fast on the average in a game this season. And if we don't figure out how to deal with what Wink Martindale is going to bring now, Thibodeau being in the concussion protocol may help, because if he can't play on Sunday, that's a huge loss for New York. I love that kid. I'm so mad that that kid's playing in New York and not Washington that I can't see straight. But I don't know. It's the New York Giants. And maybe, John, maybe you're seeping into my psyche, but I don't know. There is no such thing as a gimme against the New York Giants. I'll take a gimme against the Cowboys before I take one against the Giants.
I mean, I guess what I keep coming back to is, are they that much worse this time than they were the last time? They sacked Sam Howell 6 times. They held us to 1 of 15 on third down. They held us to under 275 yards of offense. And we had 10 penalties. That was the tally in that game.
All right. So it's not just Thibodeau, right? Leonard Williams left. Leonard Williams had a sack, multiple tackles in the last game. I don't know who's taking his place or what that guy is doing. Anybody know? Derek, you're Mr. Statistic.
No.
No? Okay. I haven't paid any attention to New York.
They're bad, man. I mean, they're 32nd in offense, 27th in defense for yards.
That's ahead of
29th
us.
29th for points. I mean, they're bad.
The last 2 weeks, things have fallen apart defensively for them too. They were allowing 14 to the Bills, 7 to us, 13 to the Jets. But then the last 2 weeks, they gave up 30 to the Raiders and 49 to the Cowboys. So something changed on defense down there. Now, maybe it's just they've got Tommy DeVito playing and their offense can't stay on the field and the defense is on the field all the time, which is, I think, kind of, John, you were saying, should it be any different this time? I think it will be different this time in that Tyrod Taylor's a crafty veteran quarterback who converted and kept their offense on the field. If we can't get Tommy DeVito off the field, then Jack's even worse than I'm thinking he is.
He's living in his mother's basement.
I would like to return one more time to my new slogan, growth and development. Second time around for both Sam Howell and Eric Bieniemy with the hijinks that Wink Martindale will no doubt carry out. What did they learn? What did they learn from the last time? Did they handle it this time? Other than that, I think that the game should be brought to us by Jersey Mike subs, since Danny DeVito will be the quarterback, and hopefully we put him away easy.
Hey, I loved him and Get Shorty, but I just don't see how he sees over that offensive line. really don't.
one little piggyback, John. You asked if they were that much different than when we played them the first time. I have to say, I think we are that much different than when we played them the first time, at least offensively. I mean, Sam Howell, I saw a stat over the last 5 games. He statistically is the best quarterback in the league, right? If I saw correctly, I think he leads the league in passing and touchdown interception ratio or something along those lines. So I just, that's why I said, when I said that, I don't think you can lose this game without completely nuking your confidence based on the momentum that we've been riding the last few weeks. I just don't think we're the same team.
The only thing I would add about the fact that he's leading the league in passing is that he's also throwing the ball 60 times a game. And he has like a 66.8 completion percentage. So he's not 70. Etc. But I think a lot of that total passing number is reflective of the play.
The volume. Agreed. I agree with that.
It is, but you got to complete them too. I mean, it's not
absolutely
attempted passing yards.
Absolutely. Hey,
And I think I was listening to Sports Junkies, and PFF does a thing. I think it's PFF, where they also rank big time throws, where they rank based on degree of difficulty, pressure, time, play call. It basically takes whether or not the guy catches the ball out of the equation, and it gives the credit to the quarterback if it was a catchable. And I think he's number one in the league there, because we could count on it. It would take two hands for us to count the number of drops. And I know he's got at least four or five drop touchdowns, not just catches, touchdowns that receivers got their hands on. So statistically, he could be that much better by no fault of his own, not to get on the Sam Howell jocking train again.
I mean, he ranks at the top or very near the top, probably more very near the top, in pass plays of over 20 yards per play, which is an explosive, you know. So he's leading or very close to the lead in explosive passing play.
So I have not watched Tommy DeVito play, now that we're done with the Danny DeVito jokes, but I did look up his college career just out of curiosity. And I actually did see him play quite a bit in college because my boss went to Syracuse. So, and anytime Virginia and Syracuse played, I watched. He played four seasons at Syracuse, pretty modest numbers, not really super impressive. But his last year, he transferred to Illinois, completed 70% of his passes, 15 touchdowns, four interceptions. So his best season by far was the last one in Illinois. I don't know. It always makes me nervous when it's some unknown, you know, guy off the street suits up against us.
Because so he was we always a teammate of Quan Martin.
Yeah.
And Witherspoon.
Well, Quan Martin came out of Illinois, right? So they were seniors together last year.
Oh yeah.
Witherspoon was out of Illinois too.
Yeah. Predictions, boys. Chris, hey, lead us off.
I just wanted to mention this. I saw that we were talking about Sam Howell and projections. The projection I saw over 17 games on his current pace is like 4,700 yards. The single season Washington, then Redskins, now Commanders record was by Jay Schrader in 1986, and that was 4,100 yards. Sam is on pace to shatter, even if it was only 16 games, the all-time single-season yardage passing record in franchise history.
Hey, if he was a true rookie, sorry, Bob, go ahead.
No, I thought Cousins had a better season than that.
But if he were a true rookie quarterback, which to me he kind of is a rookie quarterback, but if he were a true rookie, I think there would be some NFL records in jeopardy with the kind of season he's having, if he keeps it up.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We want to make sure that you don't miss out on any future BGO Blind Pig podcasts. On our YouTube channel, simply hit the subscribe button. If you're listening to BGO Blind Pig via Apple Podcasts or another podcast provider, go to our description page and click that follow button.
I was taking that off the Commander's website, Bob, but this might be something different, but that I don't think anybody's come close to 4,700 yards.
All right. That's fair. Mark, it was just a feeling. I was under the impression that Kirk had a season, but because people talk about Kirk, and that may be why.
If I'm wrong, I will make it right on the board tomorrow.
Well, I'm going to go. If you said it, I believe it. It disrupted my view of the world, I guess would be the way to put that.
According to StatMuse, Kirk Cousins in 2016 threw for 4,948 yards.
Well, I stand.
Well, hold on. Not true. Timeout. It says the Washington Redskins had their most passing yards in the season in 2016 with 4,948. So I wonder if that means, because he might not have started all 16 games.
On PFF, it says in 2016 he had 4,917 yards.
Yep.
I don't know who else threw for the missing 30 yards there, but
no, it was Kirk. And then in 2022, With Min, oh no, but that was with Minnesota, so never mind. Okay, so I stand corrected. Sam is on pace to almost set the single season franchise record as essentially a rookie on a team that has no defense. So,
hey, if we had the chance right now, setting salary aside, to get Kirk Cousins in his prime, or to keep Sam Howell, what are you doing?
In his prime, meaning 2 years ago or this? Oh, year?
However you define it,
keep it Howell. I do not. Not at this point.
I keep Howell.
I keep Howell because Sam, all right. If you say Kirk any time in the last 3 years had Justin Jefferson, arguably the single best wide receiver in the NFL right now. But we don't have that. McLaurin is very, 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 very good. Don't get me wrong. Don't want to shorten Terry at all. But he's not Justin Jefferson right now. No, I keep Sam Howell.
So I'm just saying the fact that that's even a legitimate question you can ask with a straight face is incredible. I mean, that's incredible to me.
With all the caveats, right? New offense, right. New offensive coordinator, average at best line. Yeah, the kid's doing it well.
Not just new. This is 2 in 2 years. He's had to learn, which I find mind-boggling.
It's three in 3 years.
Well, but I don't count 3 years ago because that wasn't new to him.
No, I think he had a new OC
maybe he did. I don't know.
In North Carolina.
Maybe not. I don't
think. Well, and it's probably going to be four in a row.
That's where this might be another pod. That's where you get into the debate. Is it worth keeping Bieniemy at offensive coordinator for the remainder of this year and in the building so that you can continue to maintain that development of Sam Howell?
Oh, yeah.
That is another pod.
That's a whole nother pod.
That might be a couple of pods. So what's going to happen on Sunday, guys?
Yeah, Chris, you want to kick us off?
27-13, good guys.
Ooh.
Wow.
I'm coming out hot.
So I think the defense is going to feast because the Giants are really bad. I don't know how they beat us the last time. I really don't.
When the defense had arguably its best game last time we played them.
But I think the defense looks a lot better, and I think the offense keeps on keeping on, and I'm calling it 33-10, Washington.
Look at Mark's face. That were some big eyes, brother.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand the feeling and the sentiment, but I also have watched my team play a lot, and they're playing at home where weird things always seem to happen. I think
they're wearing the black uniforms too, which is like,
yeah, which of course we beat Dallas in the season end last, right? In Sam's first start, Sam wears the black well. I think we win the game. I think it's going to be just kind of ugly, because that's how we play and that's how the Giants play. We're going to own time of possession. I hope we can score touchdowns and not field goals, but I see it being relatively low scoring game until late. Maybe we get a touchdown in the fourth, but I'm not giving us more than like 23. So I'm going 23-13. Men in black.
Mm. 27-7. And I say that because one of the names you didn't mention, Derek, because it probably didn't turn up on the injury report today because the dude's been IR'd. Darren Waller.
Oh, I didn't even realize he was injured. Yeah.
New York's leading receiver at tight end is on injured reserve. Jalen Hyatt, their third leading receiver, is in the concussion protocol and may not play on Sunday. I mean, they may be down to guys that even the announcers don't know who they are, right? They're relying on information specialists in the truck to feed them in, you know, stuff to say about guys that nobody even heard of 3 weeks ago. I kind of like the idea of the defense actually having a great day. I like the idea of the defense actually scoring for the first time all season long. Maybe Emmanuel Forbes gets his pick six this week. I don't know. Wait, this isn't like he can play this week, right? This isn't like soccer. He's not disqualified for this game, right?
He did not get a red card, no.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, he got thrown out. So
it's college. You're thinking college.
In the soccer world, if he'd gotten thrown out of the last game, he wouldn't be playing in the next game. So
in college, if you get thrown out in the second half, you sit the first half of the following game too.
Oh, really? Interesting. Learn something tonight too. Yeah, I think 27-7, and I think Sam has a pretty good game. I think Larson and Paul make all the difference. And I'll tell you what, if Thibodeau doesn't play, the Giants defense has nothing. He's the only guy on that left on that defense that's got any sacks for the season. He's got 8.5. They traded Leonard Williams away. He had 1.5 and somebody else has 1.5. And other than that, they got nothing. So if Thibodeau isn't in the game, I don't see how they get pressure. And if Sam's not under pressure, I'm going to be very interested in seeing how he plays. So
did you say Darren Waller and Jalin Hyatt were both out on Sunday?
Well, Darren Waller is definitely out. Hyatt is in concussion protocol and maybe out on Sunday. Depends on whether or not he clears. By the way, DeVito is on the Giants injury report as well.
Is he really?
Yes. Wait, where was it? Let me tell you what it was, because I he'll play. But yeah, he shows up on the injury report as well. DeVito, where is it? DeVito, Giants head coach Brian Daboll said Wednesday that DeVito will start Sunday's game against the Commanders, but his status is questionable. Doesn't say why.
This is our injury report as of today. Did not practice. John Allen, Alex Armaugh, Kendall Fuller, Antonio Gibson, James Smith-Williams, Benjamin St. Juste, and Curtis Samuels was limited. So we've got a pretty hefty injury list ourselves.
I'll bet you a couple of those guys are veteran rest days.
Maybe they are.
Marked Allen is listed as a vet rest day, but he's had a vet rest day each of the last 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to call my boss tomorrow and tell him I'm taking a vet rest day.
Totally fair, Mark. I'll back you up. Use me as a reference.
I'm a vet, bro.
Speaking of which, you're up.
I did my 20.
Oh, you did yours. All right, who's left? Derek's left.
It's me. I can't see us losing this game. I can't see it being. It shouldn't be close. It'll find a way to be close, and it'll probably be 23-18, something funky. You know what I mean? Like a weird 2-point conversion somewhere in the game that nobody's expecting, but. I'll go with that. 23-18. We should be embarrassed we give up 18 points to the Giants. But I think the offense is playing well enough. I think Sam Howell is playing well enough. And I think the offensive line is playing well enough that we'll look markedly better than we did the last time we played them, at least on offense.
Is this the first time we've been unanimous for a win this year?
No, we all picked them over Arizona.
Yeah, the opener we all had them.
Okay.
But before, that's it.
Yeah.
Preseason delusion.
Because I picked us to lose in Detroit. I know that much.
Actually, I think we all picked us to beat the Bears too. But
well, so did the entire planet.
Yeah,
including Vegas. But all right, we'd be remiss if we got off tonight without saying something brilliant about Chris's amazing BGO background there. That dude, your background is stunning. The fact that you went out and had that made by some stunning quilter hanging on your wall.
That's a slide John sent me. So somebody else
next year show up with the bunny ears, man. Then I'll be impressed.
By the way, I'm about to post the I'm not going to post it. JP Finley posted it, but I'm about to post a tweet of the all 22 view of the touchdown to De'Ami Brown. That was an amazing throw. You don't get this perspective when you're watching it on TV. Go over to the thread. I'm going to post it into the game again, the official game thread against the Seahawks, and I suggest you watch it because it's even better looking from behind.
I forget which media person said it, but they described it as being a very, very layered throw. And damn it, it wasn't.
All right, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure again. And until next week, go Skins, go Commanders, go somebody.
Go Washington.
All right, boys.
Night, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to BGO Blind Pig. Join us next time as we once again dive into the ups and downs of DC football fandom. And don't forget to check out our incredible community of Washington football fans at www.bgobsession.com.